the 2d4s ass to ass. What's up? It's your boy Aaron from D&D Valiant Odyssey. Guys, I'm sitting around the table with the Forgotten Four. They're going to reintroduce their characters, but they're in a spot of... Actually, I'm going to say they're in giant trouble. We love that count here. Shout out Sesame Street. So before we get into today's action, you guys are going to roll to see who goes first, but you're going to give your name, your race, your class, and you're going to say, what does your character look for in their ideal romantic partner? We're going there. I mean, I'll roll, but I got a one.
Does that mean you go first?
Yeah, usually. What do you guys get?
I got a 15.
Mm-hmm. 16.
18.
So I guess I go first. Hello, I'm Aaron. I'm the Dungeon Master of D&D Valiant Odyssey. And in my romantic partner, I like, this is like dangerous for me because I don't have a character to hide behind. So this is what Aaron likes in his romantic partners. They just have to be nice, you know, just be nice. That'll do. That's safe. Love you, Kalia.
What did you mean by nice?
Oh, no.
Your turn, Gorgon Bort.
The buckler. Okay.
I'm cool. Jacko.
Hey, I'm Jacko. And yep, I'm Gorgon Bort the buckler. And I'm a barbarian half orc. And I'm trying to get back to my D&D Beyond page on my phone. There we go. Romantic partner for Gorgie is, look, he's a bit of a, he's happy to be alone, but what he actually likes is the closest person to a partner, minus romantic part, would be Borbengord. And he is his greatest friend. And, you know, for obvious reasons, partner wise, he Borbengord's stuck in a place that he can't leave. And
so they leave you alone.
Yeah, exactly. I can go off into the wilderness and
do what you like.
Do Gorgie things.
There you go. Going into Trent, you're up.
I'm Trent and I'm playing Baron Barnabas, the Goliath fighter. He's a simple man. He likes tall and strong hipped for some reason. Strong hipped is a criteria.
Death by schnoosh. Death by schnoosh.
And that was about the only criteria. Yeah, nice to be good, but.
Hello, I am Rob. I play Ranger the Moonlit. He is a high elf rogue ranger, level 9. What does your character look for in their ideal romantic partner? Well, being Ranger, he's obviously very pedantic with looks and how things should be and structure and all that sort of jazz. So he would probably look for someone along the same vein as that. So, you know, he'd probably appreciate someone very similar to him.
Materialistic.
Yeah. Loves. No, but you know, he's more like that. Although I reckon he could be swayed with a rather flippant, non-impressive person as well. So I think he could be a double-edged sword.
You know what I really like about you?
What?
You're flippant and not impressive.
No, like, I mean, like someone that probably you wouldn't expect Ringo to like would be maybe someone that he would like.
My name is Brett. I play Morven Othranus, level 9. Evocation wizard, high elf. Morven is basically entirely focused on study, so he doesn't really, he's rather asexual in that he doesn't really think of or contemplate a partner at the very young age of about 80-ish in elf years. I think he's sort of putting that off as a down the track possible thing, but he has no eye at all. If it was a romantic partner, it would be literally a library. It's like, baby, I'm marrying you.
I was just going to say, out of all the books you've read, one of them must have aroused you.
Enlarge your juice.
I'm never doing one like that again. Let's get into our recap, guys. Last time you left off, you had made your way west from your teleportation circle of Monitus, and you tracked into the mountain pass where you revealed that some of Barnabas's old clan and people had been taken or were missing by some sort of giant incursion. As you began to track your way further towards the northwest to Delambir to find Karen, the master craftsman's student, you encountered 3 of these particular fire giants and you stealthed your way past them until one of them smelt the faint aroma of our one and only Gorgon Bort the Buckler hiding in a crack. Like a little piece of shit that you forget to climb up. And that's where we jump in, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen. We have a combat scenario happening right now. Okay, so first up we have Morven. Morven, as you see this, you can see three of these giant creatures, one of them towering over Gorgonbort, and you can also see that one of them is probably 20 or so feet away from you to your northwest. You can see it just sort of stomping in this area. It turned around as its friend said, gotcha. And as it stands up, unaware of your position currently, you have the initiative. What do you want to do?
Those two next to Gorgonbort, are they about 10 feet apart?
Nope.
Well, what I want to do is cast Wall of Force around them. So I think it's 100 meter perimeter is okay. What I'd be able to do. Are they?
Yeah, you would definitely be able to do.
Sweet. Well, those two next to Gorgs, I will cast Wall of Force around them. And so we can burn down the guy next to me. I hold out my staff. Look, I channel the power of my staff, slam it into the ground, and from me to the perimeter of this wall force, you just see a faint glow, and then around these two giants, wall appears around them. I was going to say, I think it's actually invisible, so I was going to say you see a wall, but I guess you don't. it's a very nondescript spell. It's just you see the air shimmer.
Hey,
you see the air shimmer around them, almost flash briefly, and then, yeah, dissipate into just they start invisibility. Yep.
And I'll say for flavor sense, he watches this one that was close to you, Gorgonbort, reaches down, and his fingers hit the wall of force, and you watch as he sort of flat hands it. And you can see them both, just this one with the towering shields and the individual next to you just start to sort of bang on the wall of force. And every time it does, Morven, you get like a shock, but you hold the spell strong despite that.
Morven. So Thronus.
And from there, well, I don't like being in between my allies and this giant. So between the ridge between Barnabas, Rengar, and the giant, is that actually a ridge? Or is
yes, that's a ridge.
How high?
About 10 feet.
Well, I want to run 30 feet and then can I misty step up to the ridge to my allies?
So I'll say that you begin running 30 feet. You get just underneath the giant's legs, but you don't come into combat range. And you're able to cast misty step and land directly above. So you can position your token above there. I will say he knows where you are. The giant knows where you are. So he's going to roll a perception check to see if he knows where you pop back up. So roll a stealth check for me.
You still have a plus 10 too, because pass without trace lasts quite a while.
Yep.
22.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So he doesn't seem to see where you go. I'll say that he swipes down at you, and as you cast this misty step, you completely dissipate. His hand is full of this blue-purple smoke as you land directly above in front of the rock that Barnabas and Rengar are hiding behind.
And that's my turn, sorry. Yep.
So just on the fringes of the pass without the trace spell, having cast it just as you ventured off from the tiny hut. Baron, you are up. You are standing next to Rengar currently. You've just watched Morven Banff next to you. And to your southwest, you can see the towering figure of the large fire giant that seems to be looking for Morven, the person that cast the spell.
So this one's not the one with the double shield.
The one with the double shield is the one that's trapped in the wall of force.
How is this one armed?
This one here is the male individual. He has two swords crossed along his back. He hasn't drawn anything yet. Yeah, he went to swipe Morven with his hand. The one that is next to Gorgonbort is the one that had the very thick, the female with the very thick sword.
My natural inclination is to go out and yell a challenging giant, but because I'm stealth, I want to just run from stealth and use a sneak attack.
So you're able to run across to the ridge in a southwesterly direction. You'll probably get to the edge of it and there'll still be a 5-foot gap, which you can easily jump if you want to try and strike him in the air.
I'm just running at the ridge and I'm just with my sunglave. It's 5 feet from the ridge. I can pray attack from the ridge.
No, the gap is 5 feet. So you'll actually be 10 feet away from him.
Okay.
Unless you do jump.
But does a glaive have 10-foot range?
Oh, well, then you can hit him from the thing without doing an epic jump and making it cinematic as fuck.
You can get 5 foot.
I do want to jump, but I also want to be up higher as well, which sounds like a reasonable thing to do. So
let's say just for thematical purpose, you jump up, you attack him, you kick off his head and you land back on the fucking rock. There you go. Yeah. All right, so with that gymnast's feat in our mind's eye, let's see if the attack hits.
Are we doing an athletics check?
Nah, because this is just for flavors, flavors.
29.
That's going to hit.
29. That is up there.
14 damage.
Okay, so you slash across his face with the sunglaive. As you had jumped off the ridge to his side, you kick off of his ear and land with 2 feet back down onto the ridge that you had previously jumped on.
I'm using the kick as my my unarmed strike as the bonus attack instead of the
the butt of the weapon kind of thing.
So that is a, but I've also rolled another one before. So that's a 20 to hit with that.
That's going
to
hit.
That is a saving damage unarmed strike. I think it's actually +4. And then the second sunglare was 15.
15 will miss. So the second one that comes across, you watch as a large forearm protrudes above and it skips off of the armor across the forearm. You can see that this black obsidian-like armor is extremely well made. Your glaive, even though it is a godly blade, did not seem to blemish it at all. Is that your turn?
Yes.
Okay, so you just stand face off against this giant. As he turns around towards you, you can hear in giant, the rest of you hear some growling, but Barnabas, you hear him scream to his allies. Oh, sorry, her scream to her allies, and she says,
"We missed one."
Looking directly at you, Baron. Gorgonbort, that brings us to your turn.
All right, this crevice that I'm in, crevasse.
Yes, you're backed up against a large cliff face. Mm-hmm. Two large rocks seem to cover you, and you are probably about 5 feet deep in this crevice at the moment.
Deep. All right, cool. And how long is it? Can I walk through the crevice?
I will say with difficult terrain, you can walk in a southerly direction and get yourself out of the crevice if you'd like. Keep in mind as well, the wall of force is blaring off to your left, cutting these two individuals off from you.
Yep. And how long does that last for? Is that a...
As long as Morvan can concentrate on it, or 10 minutes.
All right. Okay, cool. All right, cool. I'm going to climb directly out of the crevice then.
Mm-hmm. I'll say that uses 10 feet of your movement and you can pop up just on the northern side of the crevice. Yes, yes. So it elevates as it goes around the corner. So to your left, you can see it rise up and you can see it hits a cliff face, but you can see it's the path sort of snakes back around on itself and there's an elevation just above you that you could potentially climb with an athletics check if you wanted to.
I'm going to try and draw their attention to pull them up this way while they're in the wall to keep them eyes this way so they don't see Morvan or Rengar. I'm going to drop my dax and moon them and climb up the cliff.
So with a bare ass, you can see Gorgonbort beginning to climb up and wiggle as he frogs his way towards a 20-foot rise above the wall of forced giants. Can you please roll an athletics check? Do you want to rage? Because if I'll say dropping your dax will be the rage, just...
Yes, absolutely. I'm dropping my dax with force.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, you can roll a advantaged athletics check because you're raging.
I got a 14.
14 is enough to climb the surface. Cool. So you're able to get to the top and wiggle your ass at these giants who look at you, and you can see the one in the shield with the shields, the male with the shield just growls at you like...
And I can't, that is just like a full-on wall.
That's a sheer wall of force. So there's a wall, and then you're standing 20 feet above where they're standing on a rocky elevated surface.
Cool. All right. How far away is the other one? It would be a fair way, wouldn't it?
The one that was attacking Morvan, the female giant, is about 70 feet to your south.
Cool. All right.
Your allies, your closest ally is Morvan, who's about 60 feet away.
I'm going to throw a javelin at that one that's far away.
Oh, with his special...
It's my first pants-down javelin throw.
Yeah, but you're doing it with your glory-inspired ladle Woomera.
Yeah, with my... That's it, the butt.
Which increases the range and gives you a +2. So as you load this javelin up, you aim over the wall of force and over the two giants that seem to be sitting in it. How tall is that, by the way? How tall is the wall of force?
20 feet tall. It depends on... Yeah, I'll say as, at least as tall as that.
Okay. Oh. So you used 100 feet of around distance to cast.
They're 10-foot tall panels. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'd be able to double stack that. Maybe 200 feet perimeter, I guess.
Okay.
So how tall are the giants?
They're 16 feet tall.
So I can't put a thing above them. Mm. Yeah, well, I guess they'd just have to be 10 feet tall.
Okay. So you can definitely throw over it. This wall of force actually just sitting at their chest level.
Mm. Okay. So I could. Yeah, that might get their attention. I am specifically going to aim for the eyeball of this one that's far away.
So the female one below, as they look toward, even she sort of looks towards your wiggling bum as you turn around. This green shining ass in the sunlight just throws this javelin. Roll your attack, please.
All right, that is a 24.
24 will hit. For the first time, you guys watch as his pants are around his ankles. He loads the javelin into the ladle and you see him just heft it through the air. And it seems that after all he needed was a little bit of extension as too much power was throwing off the accuracy of his throws. It begins to whistle and spin in the air as it perfectly arcs and lands in this female giant's eye. And as she screams into the air, you can see as she looks from left to right, the javelin moves with her eyeball. Roll your damage.
It's only 7 damage, but
that's enough to fucking squash an eyeball.
It's in the eyeball.
That'll hurt.
You can see the eye begin to deflate.
Oh.
Rengar, you are up, still from your hidden position at this stage.
So Rengar's going to be like, well, I guess it's that time again. And he looks to the left to see a wooden ladder, which looks like it's heading up to another level. DM, how far is it to the ladder to get up and then...
Okay, so to the ladder is 15 feet. To get up it is 10 feet.
Yep.
And then you'll be on the
level. So that's 25 feet of movement. I have, upon my first turn, I get Dread Ambusher as well. So that adds another 10 feet to my movement. So I'm going to go... All you see is like a and then Rengar sort of appears. The shimmer shines away from him. He skedaddles up the ladder. Does a mad flip in the air as he gets to the top and then sprints forward into the darkness, which I assume is under the ledge there as well.
Yep. So straight
so
back.
So he will be obscured again. So you then see him again out of it. So it's like a double pop of like mist as he maneuvers. He will proc Hunter's Mark as he hits the top of the ladder after he does that onto the nearest giant, which is the one that Barnabas just hit. He will then turn as he hits his shimmer and pick his bow up, and you see the coat as his shimmer fades. You see his coat sort of go like really necrotic colored browny green with like flares of black coming off the green as well. And that moves to the arrow, and he will loose an arrow. He's going to burn one of those hunter's coat.
Charges,
that's an extra d10 or 12 or
yep, check.
Exactly. So that's going to be a 26 to hit.
That is going to hit.
26 to hit. 14 plus 9 still gives 23 points of damage. That will be aimed directly at the eye. So the arrow will burn necrotic damage into it as it hits his eyeball. He will then quick fire his Dread Ambusher attack as well to hit. So that will be, that's still with advantage. That's more than enough to hit. That's 27.
That'll hit.
So that's another 13 points of damage. And then he will take his extra attack. Will be... It's 24, and then again will be Hunter's Mark. Then he's going to burn another D. He's going to burn another necrotic and aim for the opposite eye. That's a good roll. That's 14 plus 9, so 23 points again damage.
So you just did 70 points of damage across the attacks. So with two arrows landing in its opposite eye and one in the eye that the javelin's in, this female giant's eyes look like pincushions. You can see that the necrotic damage seems to have created like a black mascara tear. That seems to be happening like a lady crying at a rock show at the moment. You can see she's pretty heavily damaged. Her armor doesn't seem to be very heavily scuffed, but you are attacking her in weak points at the moment.
Right. Just think, Gorgonbort, the last thing she saw was your ass.
So the one with the shields that seems to be trapped behind the wall of force is going to attempt to climb over it. It will use its action to do so. So with its athletics... natural 20 plus 13.
Oof.
So with a 33, you can watch as it almost hitchhikes, grabs one side of the wall, this invisible wall. He finds it and hikes his legs over the side and lands with a thump straight down in front of the wall of force. You can see him survey the land. He still has a little bit of his movement left, so he's going to look and see Morven standing out in the open and begin to walk towards him. As it's thumping towards, you can see these two shields just begin to bash together. And in Giant, you can hear him say, you can hear him say, Baron.
Your tricks won't work here.
And that will be its turn because it used its action to escape.
Thank God, because he's very close there, Morven.
So with that, the second giant that's inside will move 15 feet to the other side of the wall. Its eyes are trained on the orc ass that seems to be distracting everybody. He will also use his action to leap over the wall of force. With a 22, he will make it over. So leaping over, he's already walked 15 feet plus the jump. Let's say that he gets, with his movement, another 5 feet as he... begins to try and run towards Gorgonbort. He's used his action. His bonus action is done. That then brings us to Morven's turn. Actually, no, sorry. The female giant below is going to have a go as well. She will pick up her rock and she will throw it at Baron Barnabas. So she picks up a rock down towards the side of her and she will loft it his way. So with disadvantage, the first one is going to be a 22. The second is going to be, yeah, so 22 is with disadvantage. What's your AC?
20.
If you use your shield ability on your armor, it will miss you.
Sounds like a good idea. I'll need shield.
It definitely is a good idea because
it's basically
it's
a mountain.
It's 4d10 plus.
Oh my God. So, that is a rock.
My armor shields itself.
So the rock comes pelting towards you.
Matrix, yeah, my way out of this rock. Strange. Holy bloody hell.
You see it smash against the rock face beside you and absolutely crumble into pebbles. Your armor begins to shimmer as you've activated the shield ability. That will be your armor as a +5 until the end of your next turn. So that then brings us to top of the round, Morvan's turn. You currently see this two shield-bearing individual smashing them together about to squash you in between them.
So he's within 5 feet? Well.
Ooh, I see a glint here.
Morvan's about to do something.
I'm just thrilled I cast that Wall of Force for one round. Well done me.
It's a good idea. I liked it.
I'm thinking, fuck it. I'll do another Wall of Force just around Shield Guy and say, fucking jump out this one, asshole.
So you shift the wall.
Yeah. Nah, it's another new cast.
Yeah.
There's a wall between me. It's like a quarter of an inch thick.
Wait.
So this one will be a dome.
Can you move after that?
Yeah, it's
just that's his action to do.
Yeah, cool.
So as he can't, because of that, he won't be able to take a... He can't hit me, so then I'll run that's away good. And go and join.
Very good.
Rengar, and if anything, try to get a bit past Rengar. Actually, what's that movement?
Nah,
I don't want to clump.
You probably only just get up the ladder, man, because it's 10 feet tall, so add 10 feet to that.
In that case...
You can get up to the top there if you wanted. It's 15 feet towards the ladder and then 10 feet up the ladder, and then you'll have 5 feet of movement after that.
I'm just thinking of these rocks going flying. I might just go a bit further. Nah, fuck it. I'm going to go proper away, do another Misty, and jump.
You immediately see this creature ahead of you begin to slam down with these two spiked shields. And as you do, your hands go up. This wall of force casts over it. You can see that it's almost like it's within a fishbowl now. And as it hits, you just hear this muffled dunk, 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 dunk coming from inside.
So good.
You flinch every single time it hits because the maintaining and concentration of the spell causes you to remain focused. But you begin to run southward. You get towards the stairs and you misty step south even further, separating yourself even more from your foes. That brings us now to Baron Barnabas. You are up.
All right, I am going to get to the Chromatic Dragon, Chromatic Infusion, my weapon. With I'm hazarding a guess that cold's going to be good.
You see this ice begin to crack and fractal up the luminous blade of Idris that is wielded by Barnabas. And you can see this blue aura shift into actuality.
Then I'm going to blinken this girl up. I'm just going to start attacking. Yeah.
Got it.
Swinging blindly.
Swinging blindly. So roll 2 attacks.
29 and a 23.
Both of those will hit.
12 damage. 16 and 12.
It's 28 damage.
And then I will... I think these... Well, if I... No one's been hit, but I know that rock would have hurt. So I'm thinking I might action surge and finish this a bit quicker. So 18?
18 will hit.
Oh, that's good because this one hit too. 22?
22 hits.
Right.
Man, she's got like 4 stakes sticking out of her eye. She's been slashed to smithereens by a sunglave.
One hit for max, so 19 damage. The other one hit for 12, so an extra 31.
31 damage. Okay. So she is looking extremely rough. You can see every single wound that you cut onto this person, the ice seems to cut through.
Sorry, I didn't roll any armor. Of the extra d4s.
Oi. Well, that's 2. I'm sorry, brother.
That's 4 d4s I've got to roll. 3, 2, 1.
So 9, an extra 9 points of damage. So as it begins to crumple forward, it's seeming to try and attack you with all of its might. You just slash and slash at this creature. You go for the openings in the armor, but you also slash through using the sun glaive. And as you do, you can see this blue energy emanate from the wound. She is still standing, but only just looks like she is she's quite badly damaged. With her eyes blinded, necrotic bleeding from her wounds, it becomes Gorgonbord's turn. One of these giants, as you look down Gorgonbord, you can see the male giant with the very thick sword seems to be running towards you. You can see towards your south as well that the one that seems to have 2 shields is trying desperately to get out of this fishbowl but can't, and the female one that was attacking Barnabas is very close to death.
I'm going to use my Orc Stone and summon an action and summon another Orc.
What?
Gar.
As it comes out, you start to hear this voice inside your head, one that's traveled with you for so long, say, "Let me out. Come on, let me out. I can do this. Let me out. Come on, let me out. Let me out. Let me out.
It's time."
As you say that, you watch as apparating to your left an orcish figure. Do you want to describe them for us?
Yeah, he's more of a... I saved the life of an orc, and you know, that life is basically within this stone for a couple of times. It's more of a, what's the word? Like a dobby looking orc, I'm going to say. he's not the most handsome orc. I chose to pick a lesser orc when I killed it because I didn't want anyone fighting for who looks better. So this orc's name is Dorby.
All right. Gorgi, Dorby, and Warby. All right. So Dorby is standing next to you wearing nothing but a pillow slip. And you can see it's got these long ears, these tusks protruding out, a very long nose, looking like the shamans from Warcraft at this point.
Dorby got a shock.
Is that your action to do?
Yeah, that is. I have to use that. Yep.
All right. So does he get a turn now?
Does he get thrown into the initiative all thing? Or?
Yeah.
So as part of my turn, though, I bonus wise, I think is nothing. I'm going to actually probably use Frenzy as a bonus.
Mm-hmm. You can upgrade your rage.
Yeah, I'm going to upgrade my rage.
You take off your shirt.
No, I'm just moving away as far as possible. Old Dorby can stay there because he's fighting for me.
Yes. He obeys your commands and he will get a turn. I'll say after you.
How are you maintaining your rage?
How am I maintaining my rage? I am using,
You have to attack or be attacked.
Or headbutt the wall. attack or be attacked to maintain the rage.
All right. Can unarmed strike yourself.
I was going to say, I just grab I just punch myself in the head or something.
Okay. I'll just say you take, what's your strength score? Modifier, sorry?
3.
Okay, so you take 4 points of bludgeoning damage, halved to 2 because you're raging. And that was, I'll say that's your bonus action to do, which means you can't frenzy.
Sure.
Yeah. But you can maintain your rage at this point. All right. And then after you, your orc chieftain gets a turn, basically. So what do you want him to do? He looks towards you and he says, "All right, it's cold out here." Obviously, looks down towards you.
All right, Dorby. Don't look at that.
I told you that's not my name.
What? What's your name?
Let's just go with Dorby for now.
I guess we have this conversation mid-fight. All right, Dorby, I want you to run towards him, hold him up, attack what you can. What were you left with when I killed you on the battlefield? I'm guessing just a...
Javelins.
Javelins.
Breaking out of my side.
Yeah, I give him my javelins. That's not my +2 ones. I have other ones. You can have them.
He has 2 javelins now. He really looks like the Warcraft boss.
I want him to run as close as possible and basically just... throw the javelins.
Okay, he's going to run 20 feet towards this giant that seems to be coming up. This spindly looking orc just starts to hoik javelins towards the creature. Can you please roll a d20? And you need to add a +5 to the attacks.
A d20, that is a 3.
So that first one will miss. So that's true to form.
Is there 2?
There is 2.
All right.
In which direction does it sail?
That is a 9.
All right, so you can see as this orcish figure throws 2 javelins, they both go over each of the shoulders of this massive figure that seems to be so hard to hit, but somehow he did it. You look towards him as he looks over his shoulder at you and just he drops his head like a disappointed dog. You can see that he's dropped both javelins, but he will continue to move into combat range with him as he was instructed. And you can hear inside your head a voice say, "This is a suicide mission."
I am sorry, Dorby.
All right. Rengar, you are up.
What is the distance from the edge of my cliff there to the female giant's head?
20 feet, but you are currently above her.
Uh-huh.
So if you're thinking about jumping, it'll be a significantly lower DC for your athletics
check.
Yeah,
I am definitely thinking about jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So you see Rengar start his little run up as he hits the daylight area. He reappears, the shimmer starts glistening. He is going to front flip. As he does, he will pull his bow in preparation to land on the head and jam one straight through her skull. what do I need to roll for? Do you want me to athletics or
you can do an acrobatics check to see if you make the distance.
Yep. So 15 plus 4, so 19.
Yep. Okay, so you're able to do a flip within the air. You pull out your bow, knock an arrow. Whilst you're above this female giant's head, you loose the arrow.
As I land, I want to, just before I land on her head, I want to loose the arrow straight down. That'll be a 23 to hit.
Hit.
That'll be 10 points plus 19 points of damage.
Describe the kill as this giant falls.
As Rengar feels this, he gets to the top and he pulls an extra 6 inches and looses the arrow, and it just goes boom straight through the head and protrudes down through the bottom of the jaw. He will notice that she is like that, and he will then jump another, 20 feet again, off the head to the middle area.
So I'll say you can jump the 10 feet to the ledge that Morven and Barnabas were standing on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've already jumped 20 feet and you can't exceed your movement.
Oh, well, then I'll just... Right. So he will, as she starts falling to the ground, Rengar will kick her in the direction of the fortress shield, so she moves that way and lands that way, and he will do a little maneuver up onto her guts to ride her like a surfboard to the ground.
You now stand about 10 feet away from the individual that's in the fishbowl, and you are on the lower level of such, but you hear just the last exhalation of air coming from her as she dies, and you're standing currently on her plate mail armor, looking up at the bare naked ass of Gorgonbort straight ahead of you.
And I look to the right of me, and I look to the fortress shielded giant with his rage ensue, I guess, as seeing his comrade falling. And I grab another arrow, and as I do, I flick him the bird and say, "Fuck you, man, and watch this." And then he'll line up another shot towards the other guy. We'll fire. So that'll be a 21 to hit. And is aiming for the back of his head, the neck region.
Yep.
Whatever's exposed.
Have you used a bonus action yet?
No.
Do you want to move your hunter's mark over?
Yes.
So I'll say that happens before so you can get your hunter's mark damage as well.
Sure. Yep.
So yeah, the hunter's mark flares. You release the arrow and it hits in the back of the skull.
So that's 18 points of damage to that one as well.
So yeah, you duck off to the side, hiding in the shadow again. You watch as your body shimmers with arcane glow, the Gloomstalker essence coming out once again. Having a very successful turn. All right, coming to the fire giant's turn, who is stuck inside the fishbowl. They will spend their turn and all their actions smashing on it, trying their best to destroy it. Unfortunately, not being able to do so. You do hear him call and say something in giant, which you, Baron, would understand to say, "Retreat, tactical retreat, regroup."
What are they saying?
I'll yell that out. They're trying to fall back.
Kill him.
So the next giant is going to begin moving towards. He's smart enough. His intelligence is smart enough to know that this is a apparated creature in front of him. So he will move past.
Giving it a bonus opportunity.
Opportunity attack, yep.
Unarmed.
Unarmed, though.
Yes, unfortunately.
Slap on the ankle.
He does not have. I'm just saying.
Slap with his clothes. 20 feet.
All right, so roll a d20 with a plus 5.
11.
Okay, so like a wet fish hitting a barn door, you can see Dorby's hand just slap against the iron of this giant.
As it's running past, you go.
You hear his ethereal wrist snap as he begins to go through. And the giant comes straight towards you, Gorgonbort, and you watch as two hands come down to attempt to grapple you. So you need to roll a contested grapple check.
All right.
You'll have advantage on this. You have to beat a 28.
D&D Empire trays. They work 60% of the time every time. No, I didn't get it.
You can see these two meaty hands come and pick you up, heft you over the shoulder. That was its action, but you guys watch as he begins to turn on his heel, and it's almost like carrying a little baby. You can see that Gorgonbort's ass is right next to his cheek as he's holding onto him. Gorgonbort hitting the back of his shoulder as he looks like he's going to take off towards the northwest.
Is he just taking me?
Yep.
Guys.
As you say that, a Rengar who is a soldier.
Insight. It's a 14.
All right. So with a 14, you can see that he's definitely doing a retreat. You don't know what the language was or what they said before, but he is taking your ally, moving deeper into the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So you can expect that he's trying to lure you away, collecting what you want that he has.
Yeah.
for a particular reason. That's his turn.
Oh, Rangor, yeah. We need to stop him immediately.
Morven, you are up.
Options, boys, options. This is why I don't play a fucking caster. You got 20 spells to stop.
So as you watch Gorgonbort be hoiked over the shoulder of this giant figure, he begins to start trekking in a northward direction. Morven, you look at the shield of force that is holding back this dreadnought giant, and you have a tough decision to make. You can see Dorby waving gingerly as Gorgonbort's bare ass is taken away into the sunset. That is it for this week's episode of D&D Valiant Odyssey. We want to thank you as always for tuning in. This week's episode consisted of Rob as Rengar, Trent as Baron Barnabas, Brett as Morven, and Jacko as Gorgonbort, and me, Aaron, as your Dungeon Master. Remember, guys, we always love the support of our fans. So if you're listening to this right now and you've gotten this far, make sure you go and give us a look on socials. Those links are down in the show notes below. And word of mouth does so much for small podcasters. So tell a friend about D&D Valiant Odyssey and share the narrative with them. That's it for this week. And as always, be valiant.